Hola, hola, chicas políticas. We are recording another episode with you all. And there's been so much that has happened since the last time Rita and I sat down. Cats and dogs are just, you know, being eaten. And there's been so much made up information, Rita. And unfortunately, what's really sad, once again, when we have someone like a Donald Trump running for office, there's just so much misinformation.
And I have a theory.
It actually hurts people.
I have a theory. So Pete Buttigieg went off to some news channel to talk about the debate.
Mm-hmm.
And they asked him, why would Donald Trump say something like this? And I think Pete went too deep. It was not that deep, Pete, but Buttigieg said, well, you know, Donald Trump, he is talking about cats and dogs because what really he doesn't want to talk about is like how he failed in his economy failed the country, how he has no plans, which
he has concepts.
And I think that's a good point, but I don't think it's that deep with Donald Trump. I honestly think that it's they know exactly what they want to talk about and what they don't want to talk about. And what they don't want to talk about is abortion and women's reproductive rights. Because that is, like, if Kamala Harris was running on, mm-hmm. like, if we were only talking about reproductive rights,
mm-hmm.
we have seen election after election that people come out to vote for reproductive rights and Democrats win. So I think mm-hmm. Donald Trump just threw the whole cats and dogs just to like start talking about that for the next, you know, month. It's been a month, I think, right? And we're still talking about
cats. I mean, there's now dances you can do on TikTok or, you know, the cat.
I know.
Cat. And speaking of the kitty cat, we can also talk about the other kitty cat, which is women's rights, right? Women's reproductive rights, women's, which I think definitely this is a really big election. I know people mm-hmm. may get tired saying that this is the most important election, but there's a lot riding on this one.
Yeah. Yeah. And it is, and it will be. And sadly, 2028 will also be the most important election. And 2032, it will be as well. So we are living in unprecedented times for a while now. And I don't think that's going to change anytime soon. So,
what's really exciting, though, Rita, is while we're living in these times, there's amazing people in our community, amazing representation. There's a lot of doing the heavy lifting, and we have a special guest with us today.
We do. Today we have Luz Reyes Martin. We're gonna let Luz tell us about her, but I've been reading about you a little bit, Luz, and whoa,
amazing, phenomenal, chingona, powerhouse,
oh my
trailblazer,
gosh. Stanford.
Yes,
it's just amazing. But we'll get into it. Welcome, Luz.
Thank you. Buenos dias. I'm so happy to be with you both.
Buenos dias. And Luz, where are you joining us from?
I am joining you from Santa Barbara.
Oh, well. Where do you live, Luz?
I live here in South Santa Barbara County. I'm so glad to get to chat with you both up in SLO.
Yeah, we're doing this interview remotely. We haven't done in a while, so next time you have to come over here, or we have to come to you.
Yeah, I love coming.
Yeah, and have some coffee together. Which, by the way, I forgot to get Yesenia's coffee.
It's like, yeah, I'm like trying to keep my eyes open. But you know, I'm really excited for this week, that because I think this is powerful when we talk about Latina women trailblazing and being strong advocates, especially when it comes to education, when it comes to reproductive education, and ultimately women's issues. I think there's no one greater to be that advocate than to have a strong Latina like Luz, who has been such a trailblazer in her own right.
Yeah, Luz, so how do you get into politics? How do you become a chica politica?
Yeah, that's such a great question. Well, I will say that I think like many others, it was a little bit of some accidents along the way, and it just kind of happened. But I will say when I do reflect on when I was, I guess, politicized, or when I really understood or started to understand the importance of having a voice. And particularly, I think for Latinos and for immigrants, I'm an immigrant. was I grew up in different parts of the LA area, and I remember being in elementary school when California passed Prop 187, which really criminalized being an immigrant. I remember seeing, and it's so funny, like the things that stay with you even when you're a little kid. I can't tell you what like my birthday party was like, but I can tell you I remember seeing a commercial that was really like painted immigrants as scary, and it was really Mexican American and Latino immigrants. And that, teachers or nurses, or if you went to the doctor and they suspected that you were undocumented, that they would, turn you in. And there was, a lot of fear around La Migra, or now it's ICE, tearing families apart. And even though I was not undocumented, the message was clear that how could they tell? And I remember feeling afraid for the very first time. And it was really, unfortunately, the story of, students of color and kids of color in school, being called, anti-immigrant or anti-Latino slurs by kids, on the playground. And I have a lot of empathy for them, as a, third, fourth, fifth grader. A lot of times you don't know what you're saying. You've probably heard it at home or heard it somewhere else, but it still hurts,
For
and I still
sure.
remember it. And so that was really the first kind of moments where I realized, one, that I was different, and that there were, power structures in place in my community that I needed to be aware of, I guess. And so then, growing up, like many, I'm an elder millennial, grew up with, 9/11 being really impactful. The LA riots being really impactful is another thing that, I vividly remember. And I will say I had a teacher in high school who made it an assignment, to go to a city council meeting. So that was my very first city council meeting. And there were many different controversial topics that they were discussing. And, I started to really be more aware of what was going on in my community and the people that were making decisions. I believe at the time they were all white men, and feeling like, oh, these are the folks that are, making decisions about things that are happening in my community. Okay. And then in college, I think I really got involved with a lot of political organizations. I was chair of our college's MECHA chapter, and worked in a lot of coalition with other BIPOC student groups. And I think that really, got me. I never thought that that would lead me to elected office. I always thought of myself more in the background, like the strategist behind the scenes. But it just, the opportunity, presented itself years ago for me to apply for an appointment to a school board. And that's what really started me on a path to being a lot more involved locally in my community, to your point on issues of education and our communities. And it's been really fulfilling to give back to my community and to feel really invested, and talk to folks about things that happen in their community.
Wow, that's it just sucks that you weren't a chica política, you were a niña política at that point, because in elementary, like we're really forcing kids, depending on the realities that they're absorbing, how we are telling stories about people, dehumanizing people as well, of we're really forcing kids to grow up. Right, rather than enjoying their childhood like they should, we don't think about that often when these messages are on TV that they're all everyone is absorbing these.
So Luz, what now you are serving on city council, you're in a position of power, you are part of the power structure. Where you are at now, what would you tell that little girl, that elementary Luz, that recognized, okay, I'm here. I may not know all the complexities of what is happening, but it doesn't feel good.
Yeah. Oh,
What would
what
you
a
tell
great
your younger
question.
self?
Well, first I would tell her, you're the first Latina elected to the city council, which
Hold
is
on, hold on. Yeah.
amazing.
Yes,
Take
let's take it in. The first, not
it
the last.
in. And
City Angelita.
yes,
Well.
and you know that decisions are made by people who show up. People who show up and who are relentless. And don't take no for an answer. You have to fight to have a seat at the table, not just for yourself, but of course for my kids, for my family, but for all of our kids and families. It's not it's not just about representing and supporting a Latino community. It helps everyone if we all, have more compassion, more empathy, but also more understanding of how things work and how they can work better. I think that's good for everyone.
Oh man,
That's so
but this is
powerful.
the bad thing about having guests. It's gonna get so inspired. I'm
I
like, oh
know.
my goodness, what can I do?
And I know, I already feel like we need to have you on again
I
because we're
know.
right now
Part
we're
two,
getting
part
the
two.
service level, the feel good, right? The brief on it. But I'm sure that there are many challenges with setting that path. And
When making a seat at the table for
yeah, I, and
yourself.
it's true. It's so that really resonates with me of having to fight to be at the table. That table is a lot of times not meant for us in the sense that there's others that don't want us to be there. And that's
Sometimes
part
we're
of
not
this.
even in the vision, in the picture, right?
No,
Like, no
right?
one's
It's
thinking about us.
so question for you, what has been one of those like challenging moment where you realize like, shit, this is really, really hard. And maybe you start questioning yourself to be like, am I even strong enough? Am I even the right person to even A, take on this fight, or can I even be on this table?
Are
Because
you asking for a friend,
for a
Yesenia,
friend,
or
what's really wild? I look at Goleta and Santa Barbara as being light years ahead of like Slo County, but what you just said is I am the first Latina to serve on city council, which is like I'm scratching my head and I'm like, wait, what? Okay, like there's so many Latinos in Santa Barbara in that area that it's like, wait a second, let's pause right there.
I will say, to be fair, Goleta is a new city. So we've been a city for I think now it's gonna be 24 years.
Oh,
But that's a long
wow.
time.
That's a long time,
So
though. 24 years is a long time.
we're
But
just
we had to go
graduated
through all
college.
the white men,
that funded this. It's yeah, I get
But yeah,
it.
I mean, you're right. It's not always easy. It can be both very empowering and hard to be the first. And so I think what drives me is the belief that I'm going through something hard to make it easier for the next person. So I really believe in, kicking the door down, behind me to so that I won't be the last, and really helping more people, whether it's in elected office or in other ways, because I really believe that elected office is not the only way to serve your community and to be empowered and active. So whatever that looks like for you, I want to help. But no, it's definitely, hard at times. I think some of the things that are difficult, I also started in elected office in my late 20s. So I was also young. I was also the first Latina elected to the school board, and the youngest person.
Can't wait. I
So
love it.
there's a lot of that, like fighting to be taken seriously, to be respected, to be listened to. It's not like you get elected and all of a sudden everybody, listens to whatever you have to say.
I know, because at that point you have age, you have gender, you have ethnicity, it's like immigrant status or journey. It's like so many different things.
Yeah. And while it seems like and we're seeing this with Kamala too, that she's just a DEI pick. People always question people of color, question. How did you get here? Why do you even deserve to be here?
Or why do
Why?
you want this? Like, what do you want to get out of it? So you're like a suspicious, like, I have
Yeah.
this horrible plan and you're part of it.
You don't start with the benefit of the doubt.
Exactly. And
You
you are taken by your identity, right? That's not something
right.
that you can leave at the door. You walk in, you're like, oh, this is a Latina speaking, obviously only for Latinos. Not like we share any concerns with anybody else. Yeah, it's such a, you actually have to put in work to break down those views that people have of you, right? It's, oh my gosh, such a.
Yeah, I mean, at times I talk about it as you have to very intentionally perform.
Yeah.
So in every space I'm in, and again, this is why I don't want this to be the experience for everyone, but it is for me. You know, there are many times where I'm
Yeah.
very conscious of performing a role when I'm in any room. Because I know, you know, that I'm being judged, you know, consciously or not, by what I'm wearing, how I talk, how I sit or stand, how I ask a question. And it's like that mental gymnastics that you're constantly doing that I'm sure not no one, you know, most other people don't. But it's all, you know, I guess I rationalize it as this is how I do it. And I'm hoping that it helps pave the way for more people and more diverse, you know, approaches to how to be in elected office or how to be, you know, a woman in a community, you know, role. There needs to be more of us so that there is more diversity of how you approach it and what your style is.
And are you in the ballot this year, Luz?
I'm not, no, so I've a little break. My
Yay.
term is up in 2026.
Oh, wow. Okay. So we'll get you back.
You're
Yeah, but I also
already invited back.
I know you have had two invitations back. I want to also talk a little bit about your role outside the city of Goleta. So, can you tell us about what you do for one of the organizations that I absolutely adore?
So I am really proud to be a vice president at Planned Parenthood California Central Coast.
Okay,
And
Vice President of
that
Planned Parenthood Central Coast,
once again, let
City Council
that
member.
marinate,
Oh my goodness. Yeah.
guys. And in that role, I get to be, you know, the vice president of the Action Fund, which does a lot of our advocacy work throughout the Central Coast. And I've been there for a little over 3 years now.
Oh wow. What a how'd you get to that role and what do you like about it the most?
Yeah, I've started my career working in for cities. My background is in land use planning and in community development. And then when I moved to Santa Barbara County, I took a little bit of a leap of faith career change and worked at Santa Barbara City College in higher education and in the administration for a little over or 5 years. And I loved being there. And at that time, I joined the board of the Action Fund. And I mean, you had a similar experience. Someone reached out to me and was like, let me talk to you about the Planned Parenthood Action Fund board. Would you be ever be interested in serving on the board? And I said, yes, absolutely. And got to know the organization really well through being on the board, and just really deepened my commitment to, you know, the values and the issues that we were fighting for at Planned Parenthood. And an opening came up to join the staff, and again made, you know, kind of a career pivot. I'd never worked for a nonprofit before. It feels like the best decision I've ever made. It's exactly where I want to be, you know, when all of this is happening. I came on staff the year before the Dobbs decision when Roe v. Wade was overturned.
Oh.
And when that happened, it was really affirming for me that this is where I want to be. I can't imagine being anywhere else.
And honestly, from seeing you in action, I think you are so good at that job.
Oh,
Like, he
thank you.
not only like advocating, but also telling the story, reporting, working with so many different people, with different languages, like ways of doing things, seeing things, different capacities. Like, you're really doing an amazing job. So I agree. I think that's where you're supposed to be, and we're so happy to have you there.
We're so lucky to
Oh, thank
have you
you.
there. I think it's important
Yeah.
to have a woman of color, a Latina, especially with today's time of an intentional dismantling of what would be abortion, which is
Yeah.
such a big issue. And especially as Latinos, Luz, I want to pick your brain. Why does
Yeah.
it feel that as Latinos that this is a polarizing issue? Obviously, when we think of Planned Parenthood, we automatically think abortion, and that Planned Parenthood does only one thing. They only do abortions, which we'll get into a little bit later,
Yeah,
but
which is not true.
which is not true. But why, coming from a Latina who's in the middle of it, I want to hear from you.
Yeah, well, I think one of the things is that we don't talk about it enough, and that is, we don't talk about a lot of things
Yeah.
to be real, in our families and in our communities, and this is, I think, one issue of many that I think we believe that it is more polarizing than it actually is, because the data and surveys consistently show that, Latinos are broadly, overwhelmingly majority support a legal right to abortion. They may have, their own, personal beliefs or experiences that might affect how they would make their own personal decisions. But when they're asked, do you believe that there should be a right? It's, 80% plus of Latinos agree with
Wow.
that.
Yeah.
I always tell folks, like, if I were to tell you any issue, 80% of the population agrees, would you characterize that as a polarizing issue?
Yeah.
And so I think we just need to reframe, how we talk about reproductive freedom, healthcare, abortion, within our communities. And I really think that change happens on the individual level. It
Yeah.
happens with conversations like this, conversations you have with people in your life. I really believe that that's where change happens. And that's why, Planned Parenthood has such an emphasis on storytelling. Because it's one thing to see a data point, and the data is so important. But when you hear the stories of people, when you hear that an abortion has been life-saving or has been transformative positively for someone in their life, or whatever the reason that someone has made a decision to have an abortion, it's so much more impactful, and I think makes these conversations more productive. But it's really, I think, ties back to, I think we just need to do a better job and be maybe more courageous in having these conversations with our communities.
Yeah.
Because so much of, I think, the discomfort that exists around talking about abortion is ultimately rooted in shame,
Yeah.
and in being shamed about our life choices or our decisions.
Our
And you've
body.
got to unpack that.
Yeah, I
But
mean, yeah.
the shame, I think that the shame too is very cultural,
So
right?
cultural.
Like even like for us to talk about sex, just alone to understand how babies are made, right?
Yeah.
Or even our
Just
naked
don't do it,
bodies.
Yesenia.
Just
Just
don't
don't
do
do
it. Somehow
it.
the stork is gonna come and you get pregnant. But that's part of the disservice that we have, is because we think in our ideas, maybe as kids or whatever may be, that it happens a certain way and then it doesn't. And I just my biggest thing is I don't think women, and I and that's the reality, I think, as a culture too, Rita, that even one thing about Planned Parenthood, I will say too, is it's International Breast Cancer Month, the month of October, and Planned Parenthood also does mammograms and other things for women facing breast cancer. And then we can talk about sex, we can talk about breasts, Same deal. Latina women have a hard time talking about our breasts, exploring our breasts, which is why we're seeing numbers of Latina women being diagnosed with breast cancer at a later stage, where if it gets looked at earlier, there's a likelihood of it becoming better. Once again, it goes back to the shame idea.
Yeah, the shame that really puts all our entire community, all of us, in danger, right? Like when we are not talking about our bodies and or decision on what to do with our bodies, how to protect our bodies, what we deem safe or not, what we understand as consent. When we're not talking about it from early on, we ended up having experiences that we don't tell anyone about, right? And that just puts us all in more danger. And I've seen shame from our culture, showing up in different ways. Like we don't, if we have an issue at home, we don't tell anybody because we don't tell those things to other people outside our family, right? And October is also Domestic Violence Awareness Month, and so I think if we are, like you said, Luz, a little bit more courageous talking about abortion in the sense of our bodies, or the power that we have over our bodies or health, make sure that we take that control and apply it to our health, that we talk about reproductive issues from how babies are made, which should be so basic, like vibrators and condoms and all the things that we need to be talking about because we are really depriving our community, especially our girls, if we don't talk about it. So I
And
actually,
it's a practice. You have to be really intentional about it. And I think one thing too is always resisting the urge to qualify a lot of these conversations. So even, as we're talking, and it's very common for me to hear, Planned Parenthood doesn't just do abortion, or that's not the only thing we do. Don't qualify it. Planned Parenthood provides, STI screening, cancer screenings, and abortion care. It never has to, because I think that you're already, stigmatizing it. Someone's hearing that message and thinking, oh, like I'm still like not something we want to put up front.
Because even
Just
if that's,
be direct
thank you for
about it.
that, Luz. Because even if that's all Planned Parenthood does, like it's so life-saving services, right?
Big
We
difference.
have heard the up, like what has been happening since the Dobbs decision. Like we have learned, I think in just last month, in the last month, of two women in Georgia who were mothers, which I think is the most common case of women that are people that
Absolutely.
are getting abortion, right? Like already mothers that have either economic issue that don't allow them to keep growing their family, or they have a healthcare issue, which I think was the case with these two women.
Or two, Rita, I want to say, because it's very common, they're having pressure from their spouse not to have another baby.
I think the top cases are though economic issues or health issues. And I mean, these two women in Georgia, two women of color, two Black women that knew from their doctors that they had a health issue, a health condition that if they had had another baby, they would die. And they, one of them was shamed into not going and not getting the care that they could because there is a ban on abortions in Georgia. And the other woman, the same, leaving babies behind. And so if we don't talk about it more, I think, like Luz mentioned, courageously, which at this point is not even courageously. You're talking about your own body. Like that'd take the power
Well,
off.
and the message that is most effective, I think when it's, I find especially when we're talking with, Latino communities or and really every community, is really the bottom line is at no point in a pregnancy is a politician more qualified or has more of a right to make a decision about your body and your future than yourself and your provider and whoever you choose to be, part of your, dialogue and decision making. But at no point is a politician more qualified to be in there to make that decision for you.
And I
And
think
that's really the bottom line.
and I think that Harris campaign has done a really good job at sharing, telling that story, because for a country that prouds so much, prouds itself on freedom, not having the freedom of make your own healthcare decisions with your medical provider by yourself, it's just unbelievable. So I really like how the narrative is shifting, and I know that's why Donald Trump started talking about Latinos eating cats and eating dogs. It's like, the wins. You demonize Latinos while at the same time you don't talk about the issues that really are at hand. But so we kind of come full circle. Yeah, but in Luz, what a joy to talk to you, and we definitely need to have you back.
Yes, we
I would
do.
love to.
Yes, we'll have you back before you hopefully run again, but I'll let you make
Yeah.
that decision. And we're fans over here. We're just
Yes.
fans of
Oh, thank
the
you.
game. Yeah.
Keep going, please. Well,
Yeah.
next time I'll definitely have
Thriving.
to come and we can have some cafecito and talk some more.
Yes. We'd love that.
Yes.
Amazing.
Anything, Luz? Oh, Luz, I know that Planned Parenthood has an event coming October 10th. At 6 p.m. in Santa Barbara at the Moxie. Are there still tickets that people can buy from Politics, Sex, and Cocktails?
Yes, please visit our website at ppccaf.org to learn more about the event. It's our annual Politics, Sex, and Cocktails event. It helps fund the important work we do on the advocacy side. We have a phenomenal guest speaker, Jenny Lawson, who is the executive director of PP Votes. So she's running around all over the country,
Wow.
getting this important message out, and she'll be able to share with us kind of the latest of what she's seeing, all across the country and share her insights. So we're really excited about that on October 10th in Santa Barbara.
Yeah, so check out Planned Parenthood Central Coast website. We'll also share out on our social media. Again, Luz, thank you so much for
Anytime,
joining
Sebastian,
us.
for having me.
Well, anything else, Yesenia? Anything? Oh, Yesenia has this little thing that she has been nominated for that I'm going with her
Yeah, tomorrow's. Yeah,
tomorrow.
go ahead.
We'll see when this comes out. Maybe we'll do like an addition to the episode
Addition.
if it doesn't come out by tomorrow.
Dun,
But
dun,
I
dun.
know Yesenia has been nominated as a Woman of Influence
Oh, that's
in San
amazing.
Luis County. Oh my
Thank
gosh.
you. Yes, no, it's always humbling, and much like what Luz is saying, we do this work, right? And I think Luz will feel me on this, is we get so caught up in doing the work and being in the trenches that sometimes it is hard for us to kind of pause and take a look outside. But being acknowledged as a woman of influence is powerful, because much of what you're saying, Luz, in the North County, the northern portion of San Luis Obispo County, we lack so much representation for the Latino community. So to be nominated as the first Latina
I
to be
know.
nominated for this acknowledgement is like really humbling. And to me, I use it as a measurement that we're on track. That's what's good, that we get to now be invited to this event. We get to sit at the table and we have representation. And I'm really proud for the Atascadero Chamber to have acknowledged us as Latinos to be in the forefront. So I appreciate that.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Yeah, we obviously appreciate you,
Thank
Yesenia, and everything that you
you.
do.
Yes.
You're so
Thank
perfect. So perfect. I think
you.
you are the Woman of Influence.
I feel like I've already won, to be honest with you. Even with the
Yeah.
nomination, like it's very humbling
You
and I
have,
appreciate it.
yeah,
Yeah.
you have. So hope you
Yeah.
did. We just send me out. We'll give you guys updates. And yeah, everyone enjoy your week. So much happening. So take some time for yourself. Maybe just 5 minute walks, just breathing exercises. Go water your plants. Go read a book. Take a cat nap. Oh, cats back again.
Hide your cats and dogs and the birds.
Well, have a great week, everyone. Thank you so much, Luz.
Thank you so much.
Bye.
Bye.